Have you ever thought about what truly like intuitive technology feels like, especially for someone who maybe experiences the world differently?
Yeah, not just, a slick touch screen or a voice command, but something really crafted for a specific sensory experience.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into a device just like that,
Yeah.
the NLS Braille e-reader from HumanWare.
And NLS, just so everyone knows, stands for the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled.
Right.
Our goal here really is to give you a shortcut, a way to quickly grasp the really thoughtful engineering behind this thing.
It's all about bridging that gap, isn't it, between digital text and tactile braille.
Precisely. And by the end of this, you should have a really clear picture of its features, how it works, and what it means for accessibility.
Yeah, we'll dig into the design, the functions, even the necessary stuff like safety and compliance.
Prepare for some aha moments, hopefully. It's fascinating how design can be tailored so specifically.
Definitely reveals some surprising things about how tech can be truly personalized. Okay, let's get into it.
So the unboxing itself, it tells a story right from the start.
Oh, yeah. How so? It's not just another gadget in a box.
Not at all. You really get a sense of HumanWare's dedication. It feels like they've anticipated what a user needs from day one.
Okay, so what's actually in the box besides the e-reader itself?
Well, obviously you get the e-reader, the 20-cell Braille display unit, then the essentials, a USB-C to USB-A cable, a USB to AC adapter,
Standard stuff so far.
right, but also an NLS cartridge USB cable, which is specific. And here's what really stands out. Three different guides.
Three. Okay, that is thorough. Is that helpful? Or maybe a bit much?
No, it's genuinely helpful. You get a Braille getting started guide, a print getting started guide, and then a full Braille user guide.
Ah, so print and Braille right away. That makes sense. Covers all bases.
Exactly. It means whoever is using it, or maybe helping someone set it up, has the info in the format they need. Total empowerment from minute one.
Oh, and they include a lanyard too. A lanyard? A small touch, but yeah, I can see how that would be really practical.
So you've got it unwrapped, you're holding it. How do you first sort of get your bearings? What's the tactile feel?
Good question. Where do you even start?
Instinctively, you'll probably hold it so the Braille cells, the part that displays the dots, are closest to you. That top surface is key.
Right. That's where the action happens, the Braille display itself.
Yep, the 20 cells where the text appears, and then right behind that, the Braille keyboard.
Okay, and I see these little round buttons, one behind each cell. What are those?
Those are the cursor routing buttons. Super versatile. They do two main things.
Okay.
One, they let you move the cursor, like when you're typing or editing Braille, very precise. Two, you can also use them to activate menu items, like clicking Enter.
Ah, clever. Dual function. And the keyboard itself. Expanded Braille layout.
Pretty much the traditional six input keys, dots one through six, plus you have a backspace key that's called dot seven.
Dot seven for backspace. Okay.
And an enter key, which is dot eight. And then two space keys below the main six keys.
Got it. So it's a full input system right there. What about the front edge? That feels like prime real estate for thumbs.
Exactly. And they use it well. Five controls along that front edge, perfectly placed.
Five. Okay, what do they do?
The two outermost ones, they're rectangular, dude. Those are your up and down thumb keys. Think scrolling through
That's
menus.
up and down for menus. Makes sense. What about the ones next to those?
Moving inwards, you get the left and right thumb keys. They often call these the panning keys.
Panning keys.
Yeah, because they let you pan through the text 20 cells at a time.
Yeah.
Essential for reading anything longer than one line.
Okay, so up, down for menus, left, right for reading text, and there's one more in the middle.
Yep, a small round enter key right in the center of that front edge. So you've got multiple ways to confirm selections, these routing buttons, the dot eight key, or this central enter key.
Lots of options. Okay, what about connectivity? Sides and back.
Let's look at the left side. Going from front to back, there's a spot for that lanyard we mentioned.
Okay.
Then a standard USB-A port. That's handy for plugging in, say, a thumb drive with documents.
Nice.
Next is the power button. It actually has a little tactile dot on it, so you can find it easily by feel.
Smart detail.
And finally, the USB-C port. That's for charging or connecting to a computer. Very versatile.
And the back, anything there?
On the back edge, over on the left end, there's an SD card slot.
Ah, for extra storage or updates.
Both, yeah. You can store your documents there, and it's also used for software or firmware updates. Keeps the device current.
Good to know. What about the right side? Anything happening over there?
Interestingly, no. There's another lanyard attachment point mirroring the left side, but the guide specifically says the buttons you might feel on that right side are not used on this NLS version.
Huh. So they streamlined it for its specific purpose.
Seems that way. It keeps the focus on the core NLS functions.
You know, it's really interesting thinking about navigating just by touch. For those of us glued to screens, swiping and scrolling, this layout is so different.
It really is. It's optimized for tactile efficiency, not visual scanning.
How does that play out in actual use? Is it faster, more intuitive once you learn it?
I think intuitive is the key word once you have the layout down. Muscle memory takes over. Your fingers know where to go for panning, for menus, for entering text. It removes that layer of visual searching you do on a screen.
Mm.
It's very direct.
Direct access. I like that. Okay, so we understand the layout. First practical step, power. You mentioned charging first.
Absolutely critical. The manual stresses this. Charge it for a minimum of 3 hours before you use it the first time.
3 hours. Got it. Conditions the battery properly.
Exactly. Sets it up for a long, healthy life.
And the charging process itself. Plug and play.
Pretty much. USB-C cable connects to that port on the left edge. Orientation doesn't matter, which is nice.
Always a plus with USB-C.
Yep. Then the other end goes into the power adapter and into the wall. They do recommend using the adapter that comes with the device.
Standard advice, but good to follow. Okay, charged up. How do we turn it on?
Simple. Press and hold that power button on the left side, the one with the dot, for about 2 seconds.
And what happens? Does it just pop on?
You get feedback. First, a little vibration. Then on the Braille display, the word starting appears.
Ah, okay.
And there's even a tactile loading animation, kind of like dots circling while it boots up. Takes a few moments, then boom, you're at the main menu, usually showing Book Reader.
Cool. And turning it off completely. Same button.
Same button. Press and hold for 2 seconds again. But this time, a little menu pops up on the display.
Ah, like a confirmation.
Exactly. Use the down or right thumb key to move to the OK option, then press one of those cursor routing buttons or the dot 8 enter key to confirm shutdown.
Makes sense. Prevents accidental power offs. What about just putting it aside for a bit? Sleep mode.
Yes, and it's pretty smart about it. It automatically goes to sleep after 5 minutes if you don't touch it.
Can you change that time? 5 minutes might be too short for some.
You can. It's adjustable in the settings. Or you could just tap the power button quickly to put it to sleep manually.
And tap it again to wake it up?
Yep. Tap to sleep, tap to wake. Quick and easy.
Now, the battery life you mentioned. 4 days in sleep mode. That sounds amazing.
It really is impressive. From a full charge, just letting it sit in sleep mode, it can last about 4 days. Means you're not constantly tethered to a charger.
That's huge for portability and daily use. Any downside? Does it take a while to wake up from sleep?
Nope. It wakes up almost instantly. Just like your phone, really. Ready to go right where you left off. The focus is all on seamless use.
Seamless is good. Okay, so it's on. It's awake. How do you actually get around the menus?
Super intuitive. Mm-hmm. Using those front-edge thumb keys. The outermost ones. Up and down.
The rectangular ones.
That's them. Press up, you move up the menu list.
Yeah.
Press down, you move down. The Braille display changes instantly to show the current item.
Simple enough. And to choose something, like open the Book Reader.
You press one of the cursor routing buttons, those little round ones behind the Braille cells.
Or the Enter key.
Or the Enter key, dot 8, on the keyboard. Either one works. Whichever feels more natural at the moment.
Okay. Menu navigation seems straightforward. Now, the main event. Reading. How do you actually read a book or document? It's obviously longer than 20 cells.
Right. This is where those other thumb keys come in, the left and right ones, the panning keys.
The ones closer to the center enter button.
Exactly. You read the 20 cells on the display. When you're ready for the next chunk of text, you press the right panning key.
And it just shows the next 20 characters.
Precisely. And if you want to go back, you press the left panning key. It lets you move smoothly through the text, 20 cells at a time.
So it's like turning a page, but tactilely, chunk by chunk.
That's a great way to put it. It's a continuous flow, very focused, quite different from, say, scrolling endlessly on a screen with your eyes. It's optimized for that tactile engagement.
Yeah, I can really picture that now. A very fluid way to move through content designed specifically for Braille reading. That's really neat.
It enables a deep, immersive reading experience, which is the whole point.
Definitely. Now, beyond just basic navigation and reading, are there any, like, power user features or built-in help?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about the context menu. This is a really handy feature.
Context menu, like a right click on a computer.
Exactly like that. It's available almost everywhere on the device, which is why they call it ubiquitous.
Okay, and what does it do?
It gives you a list of actions that are relevant to whatever you're doing right now. So if you're in the file manager, it might offer options like delete or rename. if you're in the editor, maybe copy or paste.
Ah, context-sensitive options. Very useful. How do you bring it up?
It's a key combination. Space plus the letter H. So the space bar and dots 1, 2, 5.
Space plus H. Got it.
A menu pops up. You use the up-down thumb keys to find the action you want, and then hit enter dot 8 or a cursor routing button to select it. Really speeds things up once you get used to it.
Sounds like a great shortcut tool. What about if you get stuck or want to learn more? Is there help built in?
Absolutely. Right there in the main menu, there's an option for the user guide.
The full manual right on the device.
The full manual plus a command reference guide. It's the most up-to-date source of info. So if you're ever unsure how to do something, the answer is right there, accessible anytime.
That's fantastic for self-sufficiency. It really empowers the user to learn and master the device.
Exactly. It promotes autonomy and helps people become really efficient power users.
Okay, we've seen the user experience side. Let's peek under the hood a bit. What are the key specs? And crucially, the safety stuff people need to know.
Sure. Technically, it runs on standard plus 5 volts DC at 1.5 amps. The battery is a lithium ion, 3.7 volts, 2,000 milliamp hours. Pretty robust.
And operating conditions, anything special there?
It's designed for typical indoor use. There are recommended temperature ranges for operating, for charging, and even for storage, slightly different depending on how long you store it.
Like, don't leave it in a freezing car or boiling hot one.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Common sense for most electronics. Keep it within reasonable temperatures, especially when charging, say, roughly 41 to 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and avoid very high humidity.
Good baseline info. Now, safety, especially the battery. Lithium ion always comes with warnings.
Extremely important. The manual has clear cautions. Big one. Risk of explosion if you use the wrong type of battery replacement, or if you try to take it apart or modify it.
Okay, standard but crucial.
Absolutely. And only use the specified APH charger that comes with them. Also, the usual risks. Avoid fire, high heat, impacts, water. Don't short the terminals.
Yeah.
And never, ever try to charge or use the battery outside of the e-reader unit itself.
Right. Handle with care. Use the right accessories. What about disposal at end of life?
Needs to be done according to your local regulations. The good news is the e-reader itself doesn't contain hazardous materials. The suggestion is to follow local ordinances or maybe hospital procedures as applicable, or return it if there's a program.
Responsible disposal.
Yeah, okay.
Any other specific warnings? SD card slot, maybe?
Yes. Simple but important. Only insert SDHC cards. No paper clips, no other types of cards, no foreign objects. You damage the slot or the device.
Makes sense. Lastly, regulatory stuff. FCC, Industry Canada. What does that mean for me as a user?
It basically means the device meets the required electronic standards for North America. It won't cause harmful interference with your radio, TV, or other gadgets.
And it won't freak out if my microwave is running nearby.
Well, it's designed to accept interference it might receive without malfunctioning. That's part of the compliance. It's Class B certified, meaning it's suitable for residential environments. It's just assurance that it's been tested and plays nice with other electronics.
Okay, so these warnings and specs, they aren't just boring details.
Not at all. They tie into using the tech responsibly and safely. It shows the level of detail that goes into developing even specialized devices like this. It's about building trust.
Absolutely. Users rely on these tools. Okay, so wrapping up, we've really journeyed through this NLS Braille e-reader, from unboxing to the tactile design.
The power management, the navigation, reading, those context menus, built-in help.
And the crucial safety and compliance backdrop.
Yeah, it's been a pretty thorough look.
And hopefully this deep dive has given you, our listener, a really clear, concise understanding of what makes this assistive technology tick.
It really highlights how those small, thoughtful design choices add up to a powerful, intuitive experience for Braille readers.
And just understanding how it works helps us appreciate that innovation more, doesn't it?
Definitely. It moves beyond just knowing what it does.
So here's a final thought to leave you with.
What does the meticulous, user-focused design of a device like this NLS e-reader tell us about the future of technology? How can tech be truly tailored to individual human needs, moving past that one-size-fits-all mindset towards genuine, inclusive design?
Something to ponder.